Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
It's the worst time in the world ever, mate. Well, maybe not ever, but it's a bad time in the world now, isn't it? 2020, the year 2020.
Oh, the year we're currently in. Yes,
absolutely.
No, I mean, you know, it has its ups and downs, hasn't it? Mostly downs, almost exclusively downs.
Yes. I was trying to think of a good thing, but I couldn't. Here's a good thing, though. Mm-hmm. Movies made in the past, set in the year 2020, that are also apocalypse movies. We're going to do a few of them, aren't we?
Sounds grim, but all right, let's do it.
Starting with 2002's Rob Bowman's Reign of Fire.
Is that the whole title?
That's the whole title. The thing about this movie is, if you saw the trailer, it's like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, the year 2084, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's a classier movie than that, don't you feel?
Absolutely, and it's not set in 2084. I don't know what you were talking about.
No, well, it's in the. I think that's just the trailer people going like, fuck, whatever, dragons. Right. Who gives a shit?
Sure.
But yeah,
it's dragons are back and they're mad.
That's
and I love metal music.
That should have been the tagline. Dragons are back and they're mad. So Rob Bowman, you might know, director of Airborne, did a bunch of X-Files stuff, including the
Air
first.
Bud, did you say?
No, I wish.
Yeah.
That movie I haven't seen. A bunch of the X-Files, including the movie, the first movie, mm-hmm. Elektra. So look.
Mixed bag.
Mixed bag, but all in all, I think he does solid work. And I think this movie, it's just a fun kind of action romp that takes the really dumb source material really seriously in a way that absolutely plays.
Yeah, I think that's probably down to the cast.
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about the cast, because apparently Matthew McConaughey required everyone call him Van Zam on set. What I admire about that is, though, it's commitment to just a really dumb premise. I'm going all in on this dragon fighting movie.
It's also, what
shirts off, hair's gone.
Sleeves gone. No sleeves. No sleeves on anyone. What I enjoyed very much about Reign of Fire, that in the tradition of apocalypse movies of your Stryker Pentecost.
Sure.
Your
Cade Yeagers?
Your Cade Yeager. We've got in the two lead characters, we have some wonderful names in Quinn Abercrombie and Denton Van Zandt. I feel like maybe a few future apocalypse movies are the few movies where your lead male character can have a name other than Jack or John.
Okay,
so they
sure,
really
yeah.
They really just leap on it. You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Christian Bale, this was post-American Psycho, but before Batman, obviously. He wasn't a huge name.
But a huge man.
But a huge man. Those guys, those lead guys, the guys who run the communities, they're stealing food. They're stealing food. You can't be maintaining that kind of muscle mass.
Right.
Without stealing food from kids, is what I'm saying.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got their own little mushroom garden for protein.
Oh, that might be true, yeah.
They're making mushroom protein shakes.
Of course, we also get Isabella Scorupco. So I said that Scorupco.
Scorupco, yes.
Golden Eyes owned.
That's
She's
right.
back. And she probably
I mean, she never really went away.
No, I guess
what
she
do
didn't
you think they put her in storage until they need her for another movie?
They froze her like Boris from GoldenEye.
Oh, I
see.
And
I brought her for this, yeah. So to set the premise of this movie, for those who haven't seen it, first of all, if you like fun, dumb action movies, this is a pretty good one.
I think so too,
yeah. But what's the premise here?
Well, the premise is that the world is has over the course of history has repeatedly been the victim of dragons, the yeah. dragons of myth and legend,
yes.
who emerge from hibernation, destroy everything, mm-hmm. eat everything, and then return.
And everyone's like, these are awful!
Exactly. They, as we learn, although how the characters learn, I'm not sure, they were responsible for the death of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
Which makes sense because, you know, fire versus feathers. as we now know.
Just a big fiery, feathery mass running about.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of the dinosaurs were like, they were just engulfed in flames and they're like, whew, oh, no more feathers. Well, good, that was a little bit embarrassing. Oh, no, I'm dead. You know what I mean?
And the crocodiles are just like, I'm just going to go underwater. I'll deal with none of this.
The perfect crime. But in this movie, at some point in the unspecified past or a modern day past.
Let's say 2002.
They are woken from their hibernation, mm-hmm. and they return to destroy the world. And then in the year 2020, after humanity's unsuccessfully attempted to destroy them with nuclear weapons, they've only succeeded in destroying the entire world. And it's now a post-apocalyptic nightmare realm.
Yeah. The idea behind them breeding is there's one male, which is insane to me. You'd at least have like beehives of them. You know what I mean?
Okay, sure.
Hey, I'm not a dragon. Who am I to say?
James, they're too big for beehives. Duh.
Great point. But what I really appreciate about the opening is he gets like some of the dragon fluid in his eyes.
This is Quinn Abercrombie. A young Quinn Abercrombie.
Yeah, because he's the one who unearths it in the first place. Look, well, he doesn't unearth it. He's the first one to come in contact.
He's there when it happens. Like in a rewatch, because I haven't seen this movie since it came out at cinemas.
Yeah.
In a rewatch, ultimately it's not maybe the construction site that was built on a dragon hive.
Yeah.
You know, accelerated their release, but maybe it didn't. Like, it seems like it was going to happen anyway. What did those dinosaurs have a construction site they were working on back in the day?
Maybe, yeah. Like the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But when he gets the liquid in his eyes, I remember when I first saw this, I'm like, he better not get fucking dragon vision or a telepathic link to a dragon. Uh-huh. And they do away with all the magic and myth, which I really appreciate. Because as I've mentioned, they're just fucking awful. They're just awful rat-like creatures just scurrying about, just ruining everybody's day.
If you gave a rat wings and flame breath, this is exactly what they would do.
Yeah, that's it. And the way I want to talk about how they brought them to life, but just that first time you see it just thunder past the elevator out of the smoke, there's some terrific CGI in this. It's a little wonkier up close when you see like the eye of it peek in.
But for a movie from 2002,
amazing.
Pretty spectacular. And I wonder if that's partly due to the fact that this movie is almost entirely grey.
Yes.
Do you remember when someone decided that the most striking combination of colours was like teal and orange?
Oh, yeah.
And so every movie poster for a couple of years was just teal and orange?
Airbender. Sahara.
Some of the Bourne movies.
Star Trek.
Well, I think this is a movie that kind of took that idea to heart, because it's like this movie is entirely grey with just some bursts of orange.
I thought about this, though.
Yes.
Is this the first... This is a really grey universe movie.
It's a very grey universe.
It might not be, but if somebody could comment below, is this the movie that kind of kicked that off? This idea. Then you get like Book of Eli, Terminator Salvation. It just, they ran rampant for 10 years plus.
They did run rampant, but this one I think is quite effective because, again, it is, you know.
It's ash. Everything's ash.
Yes. Yeah. It's true.
There's no grass nowhere.
No.
I also like how they justify their design and their abilities, because the idea is that they produce a natural napalm out of their mouth. It's two liquids coming together. They explain everything away. They've got like tattered wings so that you can, they're out there like scrapping with other dragons and just messing up shit. Mm-hmm. They feel really real and tangible in their design. And I think a big part of that is also you don't see a lot of them. There might be maybe 6 or 8 minutes of dragons in this actual movie. Uh-huh. And a lot of the times it's obscured and it's from the perspective of the ground. You get more of it kind of at the end, you know, in the final showdown. But I think that really adds to it. Unlike Dragonheart, which came like 5 years, more than that, you know, a few years prior. It's very much in the open. It's a dragon walking around on all fours and talking. And look, Dragonheart's... It's Dragonheart. What do you want? I enjoy it.
I want a dragon speaking with the voice of Sean Connery. That's what I want. And I got it, and I will forever be satisfied.
That's right. Did you watch any of the sequels?
No.
They're all bad.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it like Air Bud? Where they're like, it's Dragonheart, but now he's a surfing dude. Now they've drafted him into the NBA. I know his name's not Dragonheart.
His name's Dragon Dragonheart.
Oh, sorry, okay. Dragon Dragonheart. Kid FBI agent. What?
Do you want to know a bit about how they actually made these dragons, how they brought them to life?
They brought them to life.
No, sorry. In a technological sense, Mason, I know it's the year 2020, everything's bad. And, you know, sure.
Who knows what's out there?
You know what? If they did unearth a dragon, I'd be like, fuck, whatever. Better than some other things we've got going on.
Let it run loose. We can start again. Fine.
So first of all, they model them in clay. Mm-hmm. And then this is one of the first examples of taking a 3D scanner and scanning them into the computer.
Oh.
So then normally they'd have to digitally
like
recreate.
Like a flat screen scanner,
yeah, like
right?
a flat screen. No, just like a little like barcode scanner kind of thing. Sure. Yes, because normally before that.
This one's coming up as potatoes. I don't know.
So say for like the first Jurassic Park, they would model them, but then you have to digitally kind of recreate them. Mm. This is not the case. They also keyframe animated all of it. So it's all hand animated, essentially, oh. all the movements, which is amazing because they look really lifelike in the way that they move because they copied bats as well to get that kind of wing flapping effect. And they're low slung bodies. I don't know if you noticed that, but the wings hang way above the bodies, uh-huh. which makes them more menacing. And that's designed to be kind of like a hornet.
Ah, I see.
And when they're on the ground, they've got that cobra spit, which comes from the movie Cobra. And
Sylvester Stallone's famous spit.
Yeah, that's right. And when they're on the ground on all fours, it's kind of like a tiger ready to pounce. Like its shoulders up, head down.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. All teeth and head. All of those things, I think, just they add to the realism of these dragons. And I think there's been, you know, terrific dragons since. But this might be the best design. Yeah. I mean, I know there's Smaug and there's Game of Thrones, but I feel like those built off this, if anything.
Interesting.
No?
A big call. Those are pretty solid dragons.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think, but also you, and you know, Smaug, of course, used Benedict Cumberbatch performance capture, him rolling
yes.
around on the ground.
Yeah, great stuff, great footage.
Very great stuff.
Matt will put it in. Matt's doing this one. Ben's taking a break.
Thanks, Matt.
He's not dead, he's okay, but just so you know.
No, from when you said he took a break, I wouldn't.
I'll get comments like, is Ben dead? He's not dead, but now it sounds like he is dead because I keep pressing the
it
point.
It really is.
Maybe Matt killed him. Speak to Matt about it.
Matt wouldn't have killed him because he's taken so much time to make this great video.
That's a good point. He's really busy. Yeah, what were you going to say, sorry?
I can't remember anymore. I'm too concerned that maybe Ben's dead.
So I can tell you a bit about the pyrotechnics as well. There was 8 tons of propane, 7,000 gallons of diesel. That was for the black smoke. Because most of the smoke in this is and fire is real. You couldn't really do convincing CGI smoke and fire, especially fire at this point.
Or even now, really.
Well, I think it's gotten a lot better. Look at movies now. Matt will put up a clip of a movie.
I refuse to look at movies now. I've seen this. I've seen Dragonheart. That's all I need.
Fair enough. But yeah, so the idea of 8 tons of propane for this movie is incredible. So every time you see like a burst of flame, something lit up, it's real. That's did it for real.
That is money in the pocket of Hank Hill.
Yeah.
Of Hank Hill's propane and propane accessories.
You're not incorrect. They do a little Star Wars in this.
They do, it's true, yeah.
So Christian Bale, Jerry Butler, they run an orphanage. Sorry, I stepped with you.
No, please, you are not incorrect.
No, that, I didn't
They probably anything. Do it in real life also.
They probably did, yeah. Does that feel disingenuous to tell kids you invented Star Wars?
No, it's all a bit of fun. But also, I find it difficult to believe that...
I mean, he's stealing food, it's not the worst that you've stolen.
But honestly, also, I find it difficult to believe that even children born after a complete... societal and world global apocalypse do not know what Star Wars is.
Yeah, you're born with it, aren't you?
Yeah, I absolutely believe you are.
Can you explain to me?
Yes.
That the method that Van Zam uses to capture and kill dragons.
Yes.
Is drop 3 people out of a helicopter.
They shoot nets at the dragon.
Shoot nets
from
them,
net guns.
Using a triangulation 3D tracking GPS system.
Yes.
When you could just do just run over the hill on a horse and shoot it with a harpoon. It just seems insanely dangerous and complicated. They're like, a person who jumps out of a helicopter to fight a dragon, they'll be dead in 17 seconds on average. Yeah, no shit. Like, why are you doing this?
Because you're throwing them at dragons. Who can fly and shoot fire. Look, you're right.
What's the benefit?
You get to fly that helicopter.
One person does.
Yeah, that's true. You get to fall out of a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah.
To your death.
To your death. And that's the other thing. There's a moment where one just flat out hits the ground, right?
Yeah.
And they're monitoring them so they know where they are in the 3D space. And no one's like, hey, pull your parachute. Just lets him hit the ground. The fuck's going on?
Well, he's got to focus on looking at where the dragon might be, not the ground. The dragons are rarely on the ground, are they?
That's a good point, yeah. I don't know, it just seems insane to me. And then afterwards, Matthew McConaughey's like, don't cheer. You know, we lost good men today. But... You put on this insane display to get recruits for your cause, which, by the way, didn't work because you just end up getting people in at gunpoint. And then don't be like, you guys are the bad people here in this scenario. You're a bad person. You're throwing people at dragons.
You tricked us into liking this.
That's right.
It was so cool. Maybe it's like a traveling show.
Oh, okay.
Like it's part of a circus, you know?
Yeah, it might be part
maybe
of a circus.
That's, maybe that's. Maybe he was never part of a... I mean, does he look? Does he really look like an army man, or does he look more like a guy who swallows swords on the side? It's kind of more that point. One, isn't yeah. it, really?
Absolutely, yeah. So he's a P.T. Barnum-esque post-Dragon Apocalypse world. Mm. Or during Dragon Apocalypse world?
Yeah, look, honestly, I don't know necessarily if I buy any of the premises of the movie when you think about it too hard. I don't really think that would be more effective at hunting dragons than actual nuclear weapons.
Yes. I guess because they keep multiplying. But yeah, how many are you getting a day doing that method? Mm. None, mostly.
Right. But it leads more to my theory that this movie was never really started as a movie about fighting dragons, and they just added all that stuff later.
Okay.
Really, it's a story. It initially started out as a quaint English dramedy about people stealing vegetables out of somebody else's garden.
Like Peter Rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. And then they just added more things on.
Yeah.
Until it became what it is now.
Yeah, it was grey filters and ash and smoke and here we are. Yeah. And the other thing about the McConaughey character, why am I picking this movie apart? It's, I guess that's what people are here for. But I do like it when he's like, we're going to London. We're going to take out the lead dragon, the buck, the bull, the big cheese.
Yes.
But he rolls in like it's fucking carnival. He's got like 8 tanks in a row and they're all like, pew pew, we're having a good time. Let's go. What are you doing? What are you doing? He's an idiot is what I'm saying.
He's the greatest showman is all I'm saying. You can't fault him for that, really.
That's true because even his death, which is the dumbest part of the movie, a spectacular, impossible axe jump that he does. How far does he jump? Like 20 feet?
Mm-hmm.
It seems insane. What are you doing? Again, I mean, he's an idiot. I guess I've established that. Yeah. Did he think that was going to go a different way?
Probably. He probably expected a trapeze artist to catch him on the other side. Okay, sure. It just never happened.
Yeah, look, the thing about the finale is it's great. And it also works into the whole idea of the dragon's weaknesses. They have vague ideas about how they work. They're like, I think they can't see at dawn and dusk. Maybe you get them on the ground, you shoot them in the face with a big explosion. That might be okay. But in that space at the end and you see the size of that lead dragon, the dragon from Dragonheart, he's fallen on hard times. It feels so dangerous and you know when you see
sexy.
But when you see one of them like run out in front of a dragon, it's like, oh, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. That can shoot fire. Haven't you seen one before? But that whole finale,
maybe you think they're out of fire.
You know? But they're never out of fire.
They've been doing this for years. Maybe they're out of fire. I'll be lucky.
Yeah, you might be right. But the whole idea behind the premise, it brings together like the performance and the setting and the pyrotechnics and the VFX. And I think it's a really great conclusion to this movie that is good, I think. Or is it? Have I gone mad?
Maybe in the twilight, that guy thought that it was one of his friends, the fire breather. You know what I mean?
That's entirely possible, yeah. All in all, this is a very grey movie.
One of the greyest there is.
But in a good way, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Pretty solid movie.
Solid. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. We are doing our 2020 Apocalypse trilogy. Should we say trilogy? We'll do 3 of these.
Yeah, let's do 3.
What's next week, do you think, Mason? Should I put in a hint?
Yeah, put in a hint.
Here it is. Matt put in the hint. I didn't put it in.
Ah!
For those people,
I reacted to the hint as if it was there, but it was absolutely
I think
not
it's,
there.
What do we say? What's the next one we're doing? This is for the audio one. What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. I'll have a
second
look.
Second one is...
You sent me a text.
I sent you a text. Don't reveal the third one yet, Mason.
Okay.
But the second one is... Here he goes. Here he goes.
Here we go. No,
coming in hot.
No. You sent me a lot of texts, James. What are you doing?
Oh, most of these texts are from you.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
nice,
a good movie.
Yeah.
Grey as they come.
Yeah. Should we rank these movies on how well they relate to the current situation we're in?
Oh, my God. Would you want to talk about that? What would you say these dragons represent in British society? Is it all the pedophiles in the royal family? I've just got this demonetized. Why'd I do that?
No, you're free to take it out. We're currently in the recording stage. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I don't know, but I haven't, have I? It's in here.
What are you doing? I think, personally, James, and you know I'm passionate about this, I think the dragons represent the oversupply of Jaffa cakes in the British food industry.
Yeah.
They'll consume us all. You think you're consuming them, but they're consuming you.
People don't like it when we get political, Mason. And you've taken a big chunk of our audience and you've spat in their faces.
That's right.
And their Jaffa cake-loving faces.
their orange jam smeared faces.
Anyways, of course, we will be back next week. If you actually want to see these videos early, guess what?
What?
You can go to bigsandwich.co, sign up.
Oh!
It's $9 a month. Is that too much? I don't know. But look, early videos all the time, including every caravan of garbage goes up there early.
Very cool.
I think so.
Yes.
And you got any suggestions, leave them below. Put up polls on Patreon as well. It's a good fun time. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
What are your thoughts on the movie Dragonheart? Tell us. Is it good? Do you think they should have got somebody else other than Sean Connery, a more Scottish person?
Do you think they should have kept it as a quaint English drama? With some funny four weddings and a funeral fist fights towards the end, you know?
Anyway, see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we have a podcast. I didn't say it.
Okay.
I'm saying it here.
Say it now.
It's Monday. Monday's podcast. It's not called that. There's a logo on the screen. You can see it.
Just start up some sort of podcast app and just wait for our podcast to emerge from it.
Yeah, it'll cycle through eventually.
Yeah, cool, yeah. Nice.
All right, goodbye.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.